ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Andy Finn Show. I'm Andy Finn, the Finn Man, and for the next hour, you're in Finland. Today is Monday, September 15th, and a lot going on in the world, but let's start with what's going on in history. So it was on this is a green day. Do you know that Greenpeace was founded on this day in 1971? But more importantly, in 1965, Green Acres premiered on CBS TV. You talk about a green day. And strangely enough, Lost in Space premiered the same day. 1961, the United States resumed underground nuclear testing. I guess that would be a few months into the Kennedy administration. Kennedy was a hawk and needed to show that after that weak Eisenhower, that it was time to get tough with national defense. And I think he's the last Democrat that has felt the need to exercise his testosterone like that as soon as he got in office. Mostly that falls to our Republican presidents. So, number of things to talk about today, one of which is the current state of the campaign. So, let's review the bidding. The last week has been spent in a bit of a mess because they got arguing about ads. For example, ads about lipstick on pigs and all that kind of stuff. Whether or not Barack Obama wanted to teach comprehensive sex education to five-year-olds, as the McCain campaign ludicrously claims, all that good stuff. And otherwise, normal-looking adult Republicans on TV actually with a straight face claiming that that's in fact what he wanted to do and that he was insulting Sarah Palin. And here come the Republicans crying sexism. Before we get to all that, though, and the fact that complaining about this stuff is never taking personal responsibility, let's talk more generally about what's going on, because the conversation has changed in the campaign, and two things are driving that this week. I don't think the McCain campaign is going to be able to play rope-a-dope with meaningless issues for another week, as they did last week, because we got two hot issues right now. One, we've got a disaster in Texas and Louisiana from Hurricane Ike. And secondly, we've got a disaster in the financial sector with the collapse of Bear Stearns and over the weekend and the purchase by Bank of America of Merrill Lynch. And then AIG is on the ropes. People expect that to fall. So those two things are going to prevent John McCain from making this week about trivia. I think we're going to have to deal with real issues because the real issues are out there. And both candidates are out today talking about the financial situation. So we'll get back to the economy and what this, where the campaigns stand on that. But let's back up a little bit and talk about just briefly the hurricane. I don't know if you've seen the pictures. If you haven't seen the video and the pictures, get on TV and watch them on one of the cable news stations. The devastation is amazing. You know, we usually think that Category 2 hurricane, well, it's not that powerful because, it's, you know, Category 3 is getting powerful and 4 and 5 are the ones you really worry about. The devastation across Galveston and other areas from Ike is unbelievable. Just dozens and dozens, hundreds of homes ripped off their pilings, windows blown out of buildings. I mean, most of the windows blown out of some high-rises in Houston, as far away as Houston, way inland. Hurricane-force winds going as far north as Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois. It's just amazing that the power of this storm. Of course, it was one of the largest hurricanes in terms of surface coverage, was extremely wide, and so the devastation is pretty deep. And so that's going to bring back into issues, domestic issues, and how people deal with housing and other issues related to the economy. But the real stumper here is the whole issue of where we go or what happens with the economy. So let me just briefly provide an overview or a take on the current situation. All right, so what's happened with the subprime mortgage meltdown is that because of deregulation, and both parties were a party to this, both parties had the presidency at different times. You know, the Clinton years were Democrats, the rest of the time mostly Republicans since, you know, in the gestation of this problem. And, you know, these things go back to the 80s. We had the savings and loan crisis. That cost the taxpayers about $500 billion, half a trillion dollars. And a lot of people walked away with a lot of money. But what happened was, since this stuff was guaranteed, people said, well, I don't mind making bad loans because the risk isn't mine. Well, what happened this time around was these new financial instruments were created due to deregulation. And so these banks that are really financial houses, right, they aggregate loans. And so what happens is they bundle together, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of loans in one package and sell it to another bank. You ever notice how your mortgage company changes? For a while, I must have changed six mortgage companies in 6 years. This is going back, you know, the better part of six, 7 years. And every 6 months, it seems, they were asking me to write my check to somebody else. Well, what they were doing was reselling the paper. And when they resell the paper, somebody's making a commission on that. And so they package these loans, a lot of these subprime loans. So when companies are buying these loans, the people that buy the loans get a commission or get a chunk of money, too, for doing their job. And what happened was nobody really knew what was underneath these large chunks of loans. And there were a lot of bad loans in there, a lot of subprime loans in there. And this these financial instruments got spread around the globe. Not only did investment banks package a lot of them and sell them, but our creditors bought a lot of them. So the federal government moved in, and they had to prop up Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They are just too big to let fail. They are huge, colossals in the financial world. You cannot let them fail. So the government will stand behind them. And, of course, their stock had fallen, you know, more than 80%. In the end, it fell another 50% of that, what was left, right before they bailed it out a week or so ago. And when it came to, I'm trying to think of the company they bailed out 2 weeks ago. It'll come to me. But then this weekend, Bear Stearns was in trouble. And what's happened is, you know, these companies like Bear Stearns, like Merrill Lynch, dropping, you know, or like AIG, I guess I mean, dropping, you know, 50 to 80% of their value over the course of the year so far, and then dropping precipitously again in the last week or two, as the full realization of the problems they have, that is, they don't have the money to cover their debts, comes to light. People are bailing on the stock, and the stock tumbles. So Bear Stearns went under, essentially, and then the feds engineered a deal and got Bank of America, a huge bank, the largest bank in the country, to buy Merrill Lynch, which by itself is a pretty darn big company. So now Merrill Lynch is stable, and if you've got your accounts with Merrill Lynch, it's just like a takeover. But the biggest shoe to drop yet is AIG. And AIG basically is an insurance company that got into an insurance business. They didn't know what they were doing. It's hard to estimate risk. You know, if you take out flood insurance, even in the Gulf Coast, you can estimate the risk. There are actuarial tables on the number of hurricanes, the severity of hurricanes, the amount of damage you'd expect a year. Same with tornadoes, same with earthquakes out west. There are tables and charts that help you estimate the risk. When they started insuring these investment instruments, they didn't really know what they were doing. They just figured it was a chance to make money. They got caught holding the bag. Right now, they're holding insurance on a lot of loans, a lot of packages of loans that have gone bad. And they are not going to have the money to pay up. So when this became clear, people started bailing. Well, this problem's been going on for a while. AIG has lost over 80% of its value this year, and its stock fell 50% again in the last 48 hours. I forget that that was Friday or today. Anyway, that's another company probably going under. So here we are in the middle of an election, and the question becomes, who is best qualified to get us out of this mess? I'm not confident that either party can get us out or either presidential candidate can get us out. But it's interesting what John McCain is doing, because now we're back to the focus of the campaigns. Now, Barack Obama has been the change candidate and McCain has been the experience candidate, at least until the convention. And they got to the convention and the McCain people must have sat down and said, you know, this isn't going to work. Hillary tried the experience card and couldn't beat Obama, and she seemed unstoppable. This is a Democratic year. All the indicators favor the Democrats, right? Any number of reasons the Republicans are dragging around several anchors. The fact we're at war on two fronts, the fact that Bush has got a 30% approval rating, the fact that Republicans are the party in power and we tend to turn them out after 8 years and go to somebody else, and the fact that the wrong track, right track numbers are 80% wrong track, 20% right track in this country, the worst ever. With all of that, the McCain campaign had to say to themselves, you know, if you just run this nice little campaign you've got here, John, and continue on, you will put up a good fight, but you will definitely lose. So they said, we have to shake things up. What can we do? And they said, well, if we're not going to run on experience, what do we do? Well, I'm a maverick. Let me run as a maverick. Yes, let's make you a reformer. Yes, but we're the party in power. How do we be a reformer against the Republicans? Easy. You've been a maverick. You've bucked your party before. But yeah, but not on the big things. They're going to say, I voted 90% of the time with Bush. Let them. You're going to go out as a reformer and a maverick. And what you need to do is pick a maverick partner, not a Rudy Giuliani, not a Mitt Romney, not even a Joe Lieberman, who'd be a Democrat. The base wouldn't stand for that. You need to pick somebody, an out-of-the-box pick, somebody that isn't tainted by Washington yet. So he settled on Sarah Palin, and the rest is her story. So with that, we're going to take a short break, and we'll talk more about this when we come back. In the meantime, we are here. And David Byrne is performing this week in Baltimore on Wednesday night. And in honor of that, I want to play a cut from his new album. And we'll be back after this.
Standing on the stage, I'm working in a restaurant. I make a decent wage.
Listening to The Andy Finn Show, centrally located in America, on the TAFS radio network.
We are back on The Andy Finn Show, and we're talking today about the election. So, today's September 15th, 2008, and we are a scant 6 to 7 weeks away from the election. Holy cow, it's hard to believe. So on this day, the Nuremberg Laws were enacted by Nazi Germany. Can you imagine what year this was? I didn't say the Nuremberg Trials. The Nuremberg Laws. So you may remember the Nuremberg Laws stripped German Jews of their civil rights, and not just incidentally, it made the swastika the official symbol of Nazi Germany. Every good dictatorship, every totalitarian regime has got to have symbols. 1935, and of course the Nuremberg trials were held there, named that because of, in large part, because the Nuremberg laws were the beginning of this mess. But it was only 5 years later that in the Battle of Britain, the German Luftwaffe lost 185 planes on September 15th, 1940, and that forced Hitler to change his plan about invading Britain. Thank goodness. And, of course, Winston Churchill was there doing his part. So, let's talk a little bit more about the economy. So, here's the economy coming front and center for several reasons. The first is the shockwaves going through the financial sector right now. We've got a serious problem, and the question becomes, who is best to deal with it? Now, McCain and Palin were out on the stump today. Maybe Palin didn't rejoin him. McCain is out saying what he's been saying for a couple of weeks with this new mantle as the reformer, as the maverick, saying that we're going to go to Washington and we are going to reform things. Washington won't know what hit him. We're going to change Washington. Well, I have to tell you, you aren't going to change Washington, really. It changes very slowly. And when Obama says change, he doesn't often come right out and say this because he's going for swing voters. He'd love to draw in some moderate Republicans. But really, when the Democrats talk change, what they're saying is we've had 8 years of Republican rule. We've had 8 years of George Bush and Dick Cheney. We have had 8 years of their approach to the world, whether it's their gung-ho foreign policy and the doctrine of preemption, or it's their gung-ho domestic policy and ignoring certain laws and certain treaties and certain constitutional principles. The question is, has America had enough of that? And so when Obama says change, that's the kind of thing he's talking about. But he talks more generally about change because he does want to appeal to a swath of moderate Republicans, however small that group is. He doesn't want to alienate them by saying all the time that the change I'm talking about is throw the bums out, get rid of the Republicans. So you notice he doesn't talk much about Republicans. He talks about Bush, because we know how unpopular Bush is, except with the base. And that 30% of the base that supports George W. Bush and Dick Cheney, they are going to vote for John McCain. They have no choice. They're never going to vote for Obama. So that's the two different kinds of change. So McCain is there forced to try and wrest the mantle of change from Obama, but how he's trying to do it is to say that he's going to go to Washington and shake it up, and I know how because I've been in Washington for years. Now, what's interesting is, as of today, he's thrown in this, we're going to change Washington and Wall Street. We're going to reform them both. We just threw Wall Street in as an addition. I would love to have been able to raise my hand and said, Senator McCain, how are you going to do that? What do you plan? Because the real answer to an economic engine gone haywire is regulation. And, of course, in general, Republicans don't want to regulate. Part of the Republican message, part of the McCain message is we will free up business so that they can do what they do best, make money, create jobs, and help the economy thrive. But to do that, we have to cut their taxes. To do that, we have to reduce their regulation. The problem is, with the financial sectors the way they are, more oversight is needed, and some laws are needed, in the same way that in the wake of Enron and the other accounting scandals, where people cook the books for the short-term windfalls that executives might get from making things look good and propping the stock price up artificially, we got the Sarbanes-Oxley law, which is a bit onerous, but it requires trustees and the CEO to sign off. Actually, I guess just the CEO, but the CFO, I suppose, chief financial officer, to sign off on their financial statements and say everything we're putting in these annual reports is true to the best of our knowledge. because they were talking out of both sides of their mouths back then and hurting shareholders. Well, it's going to require more regulation, which is anathema to Republicans in general. So in many ways, this issue is made for Obama in the same way that some of the foreign policy issues are made for Obama. That is, the Bush administration is now coming around to Obama's point of view, what Obama's been saying about Afghanistan, about Iraq, about a number of things for some time. They're forced to come around to that, and that leaves McCain kind of hanging out there. Not just on foreign policy, he's now going to have to come around on economic policy. And he's going to have to say, I'm for more regulation. Actually, all he's saying is, I'm going to reform them. And it's interesting what he hit on today. The only piece I heard, and I have to admit, I didn't hear everything McCain said today. What he said was, he went after the CEOs that take home these exorbitant salaries and golden parachutes when they leave the company, but don't do their job. Well, that's the easy target, the average citizen. Yeah, I want that stopped too. But that doesn't solve the financial crisis. In fact, it was reported today in the Washington Post and other papers that the government, which took over Freddie Mae and Fannie Mae, little juxtaposition of names there, last weekend, the government, federal government, has decided that those two gentlemen that ran those companies will not get their combined $25 million. I think one of them was headed for a $9 million golden parachute if he left, and the other one was supposed to get $16 million, and the government has said, hold everything, you're not getting anything right now, we will see if we give you much of anything. And that's as it should be. You know, we've had CEOs have had it really good. To get a good person to come, you have to promise him a high upside and very little downside. Very few people peg their entire compensation package to their performance. And of course, in the 90s, when everybody was performing well and it was just going with the stock market, people made a lot of money. Even if they didn't achieve very much, the stock went up anyway because everybody's stock went up. Now that stocks are going down, it turns out there are built-in clauses that prevent people from not making at least millions. You may not make hundreds of millions anymore. Anyway, that's the mess in that sector, and McCain's answer is simply, so far, it's simply, I will not only clean up Washington, I'll clean up Wall Street while I'm at it. Well, you know, Senator, we'd like some specifics, and we'll need the specifics from Obama, too, but I think he gets the better of this argument. Now, the other thing that happened, and the Obama campaign's using against McCain already today, was McCain repeated something he said several months ago, which is that the fundamentals of the economy are sound. Right? I think he needs to stop saying that. I don't know if he's trying to reassure people or he's trying to salvage what he can of the Republican brand, but I mean, he's running against his own party pretty much here right along, and so I don't know why he wouldn't just continue. And what's interesting is the other times when I heard him speak today, what he said was, this is a very serious crisis. He calls it a crisis. Right? And he says, I know people are hurting. And then he says the fundamentals are sound. So I don't know if he's trying to salvage the brand, the Republican brand, or what. But here's the problem with that. You know, Obama's been trying for some time with a nuanced message, right? The only reason the country, I think the main reason the country is with trust McCain on the war in Iraq is that McCain is saying, we have to win. And Obama's saying, look, we need to get our troops out, and we need to wind this war down. Or on taxes, another example. McCain is saying, I'll cut your taxes. And Obama is saying, I'm going to cut taxes for most people, but we have to raise taxes for people that have gotten windfalls in recent years, that is, the people making the most money, because we're running a huge deficit and we're sticking our children and our grandchildren with the bill for everything from the Iraq war to the tax cuts that Bush has enacted over the last few years. Or that he's been delivering over the last few years, enacted 5-6 years ago. And that's a complex message to say, I'm going to raise some taxes and I'm going to lower most taxes. So the McCain campaign is out there saying, Barack Obama will raise your taxes, even though Obama claims, I'll give 95% of the people a tax cut. Well, that's not completely accurate either, but I don't want to get bogged down there right now. What I want to say is that when you've got a two-pronged message, on the one hand, on the other hand, the country has trouble swallowing that. It's the same way, to go back to Iraq, McCain says, we will win. You know, we must win with honor, or whatever he said. He actually might have said peace with honor, which was Nixon's old line. If you're not old enough to remember that and shudder, let me tell you that Nixon got elected in 68 saying, I can end this war. And he got elected in 72 saying, I can still end this war. And we reelected him, which is interesting. But Nixon used to say, we'll have peace with honor and never peace with surrender. And what happened on Iraq, and I really should save this for the Iraq part of the discussion, I suppose, but basically what happened in Vietnam was Nixon could have got about the same deal that he and Kissinger got after tremendous bombing and thousands of additional American casualties. Several years later, he got the same deal from the North Koreans he could have had earlier, but he could call it peace with honor because we didn't surrender. We negotiated a peace, and then we left. And son of a gun, if those wily North Koreans didn't violate it by taking over the country when they promised they wouldn't. Of course, they went to Paris and promised Kissinger whatever he wanted to get us out. Okay, so won't draw the parallels with Iraq right this minute. We're going to take a break here on WEBR Radio. And when we come back, I'll go back and finish up about the economy, and then we'll move on to international issues and the war and the surge and the claims and counterclaims that McCain and Obama are making about those these days, and why experience doesn't bother you for Palin if you're a Palin fan and Obama if you're an Obama fan. We'll be right back.